I wanted to open the Word for just a few moments this evening in Deuteronomy 6, because it reminds us that the Christian faith is it's not just a faith for adults. It's for all of those who are numbered among God's people. Those of us that are older, those of us that we would refer to as covenant children, or those that are young people, that are members of God's people. So it's a faith, certainly not just for kids, but it's also not just for adults. As we read in Deuteronomy 6, beginning in verse 1, "Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." Let's pray together again. Father, we do praise you now for your word. And again, Lord, we pray that you would open our hearts to receive it, young and old, that you would teach us of your goodness and your faithfulness. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Just for a few minutes, I wanted us to be reminded this evening that this week is a great opportunity. It is a great opportunity to teach the Word of God, but especially to aim it at younger people, to do other things in the context of the week. There will be stories, and friendly competitions, and there will be all kinds of ways that we will enjoy learning the Scriptures together. But what's the point of the Scriptures? Well, in the New Testament reading that Vinicius read a few moments ago, there's a reminder that the whole point of the Bible, it's not just to know things. The whole point of the Bible isn't even just about a moral code of do's and don'ts. Never, ever look at the Bible as merely a list of rules. That's not what it is at all. It shows us how to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, and might. And it even encourages us in ways that we are to teach our children the blessing of doing the same. Now, the first thing that we should note is that we need to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to embrace the Scriptures ourselves. You notice, or maybe you remember hearing in verse 4, we're told, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." So we are, as adults, as parents, we are to love the Lord with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength, and we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. And the Scriptures show us why we should do that and how to do that. They show us how to turn from our sin and come to Christ for salvation. They show us what it means to walk faithfully with Him. Now, we never do that perfectly, but we're called to strive by the grace of God to walk faithfully with Him. That begins with coming to Him for salvation, but then that is the beginning of a lifetime of dying to sin and walking with Christ. And you'll notice that when God speaks to his people here in Deuteronomy 6, and in context, this is right after he's given them the Ten Commandments for the second time in Deuteronomy 5, but then he says to them that that they're to be careful to do what he says, and that if they do that, things will go well with them. In other words, God isn't just saying, do it. He's not just saying, do it because I told you to do it. He's saying, this is actually going to be a blessing to you because you're made in my image and you're made to walk in fellowship with me. And this is how you do that, so that it might go well with you, so that I might multiply you in the land that I give you. So he gives this command to listen to his word, but then he gives us these incentives to listen to him, because what he's telling us is for our good. But parents, it's really important. There's nothing that can replace you embracing these things yourselves. We're delighted. Let me back up. I say this, many people here know, I say this as somebody, I grew up in a non-Christian home, grew up in a secular background, never walked into a church and never been into a room like this and never been in a service like this until I was converted as a teenager. I think prior to being converted at the beginning of high school, I'd been to one funeral and one wedding. Those were the only times that I'd been into a sanctuary and sat down the way that you're sitting here this evening. So I was converted through the testimony of a friend's mother. So not Christian parents, converted by the grace of God through just a friend's mom who loved me and cared about me. She talked to me about my sin and what Jesus did to atone for my sin. So I didn't grow up in a Christian home. It's all the more reason I say there is nothing that can replace parents who love the Lord and endeavor, albeit imperfectly, to walk with him. Certainly God might use an invitation to Vacation Bible School. He might use it to convert children that come with a friend and they're from a non-Christian home. We know that he can do those things. He does do those things. We praise him when he does those things. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't embrace these truths ourselves. You know, I remember years ago reading this in a book about youth ministry, and then a friend of mine who is a pastor of youth and families said the same thing some years later. And the phrase was this: the sharp kids come from the sharp families. The good kids come from the good homes. Now, what he meant by that was not any kind of arrogance or anything like that. What he was saying was, there is nobody who has a greater influence on the children than the parents. By the grace of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, God uses us in the lives of our children. So we need to embrace these things ourselves. If you're here this evening visiting, have you embraced these things yourself? Do you recognize your sin, but also the mercy and grace of a forgiving God that he would send his own son to die in your place, to atone for your sin? But then we also see that we are to teach our children. You notice that he says in verse 2, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God. That means reverence the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I am commanding you all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. So these commands are for you, but they are also for your son and for your grandson. And then, and that means by implication, daughters and granddaughters as well. They're using the masculine, or the scripture's using the masculine inclusive. But there's as we seek to teach our children, it's natural that children ask questions. If we were to flip over to Exodus chapter 15, and I'll simply read it just a few verses, but or rather in Exodus chapter 12, God through Moses says this: and when your children say to you, what does this rite mean to you? You shall say, it is a Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the sons of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians, but spared our homes. And then over in chapter 13, he says, "And it shall be when your son asks you in time to come, saying, 'What is this?' Then you shall say to him, 'With a powerful hand, the Lord brought us out of the land of Egypt from the house of slavery.'" Now here's the point. Well, we've all known, haven't we, that children like to ask why. They all go through their why phase. I remember the why phase. My parents will tell me something. Why? Well, because of this. Why? Well, because of this. Why? And I don't know when I became aware that I wasn't really seeking information. I was just trying to provoke frustration. But I kept asking why until I'm sure my parents said something that helped me understand to quit asking why. Well, but kids do legitimately ask why. And here's something to notice. We can teach them things even before they're old enough to understand all the reasons why. Teach your children when they are not old enough to know all the reasons why. It's amazing, isn't it, that a young mind, they can memorize like a sponge. Some of us can't remember where we put the keys, but they memorize things like a sponge, and they remember them years later. And my wife, who grew up in a Christian home, one of the things that I noticed sometime into marriage was things that she had learned when she was 10, I was still trying to learn in my 20s because I just hadn't been exposed to them. And God was gracious then, you know, better late than never. But it's never too early for us to instruct our children. Questions are not a reason to be annoyed. They're a wonderful opportunity. Just like Vacation Bible School is a wonderful opportunity. We need to embrace these things ourselves, but then we need to teach our children as well. Young people, those of you that are going to be here tomorrow in your classes, on your teams, in Vacation Bible School, in Olympion, you're never too young to learn. You can learn everything at your age that your parents can learn at their age, and in some ways you can learn it more easily. And even if you don't understand all the whys, in time, your parents can explain those whys to you. You can learn those whys, but you're never too young to learn. And parents, the things that you teach them now may be the things that God brings back to their heart and their mind decades from now. It was said of John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace. Now, if you know Newton, he grew up with a Christian mother. Apparently, his father was a pretty godless man. His mother died when he was young. He was reared not in a Christian home. He became a slave trafficker, so engaged in human trafficking for a number of years. Horribly depraved life. And then by the grace of God, he was converted. And in the story of his conversion, he was in the hold of a ship in a storm that he thought was going to sink, working the bilge pumps to try to keep the ship afloat, and he thought he was going to die. And it was then that he remembered the things that he was taught at his mother's knees. I mean, you understand, he was remembering things from the age of 5 after years of ignoring those things. So teach your children. And if you're teaching and you're working with Vacation Bible School this week, the Lord can use 1 week. He can use one conversation. He can use one verse memorized. He can use one lesson heard. He can bring those things. He might bring fruit to bear in this week, and we praise him when he does that, but he may bring fruit to bear even years down the road, and we'll praise him for that. But then notice it's not just the formal things that we do here. During this week and after this week, we need to remember that these things are to permeate all of our lives. You look at verses 7 and following. "You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." And so the idea here is, is the Word of God and the teachings of Scripture are everywhere. When you sit in your house, walk by the way, lie down, rise up, on your hand, on your forehead, on your doorpost, on your gates. The way we might say it today is there are notes on the mirrors and on the kitchen counter and stuck on the dashboard and tucked in the brim of our cap. There are reminders and there are notes and there are things that we're learning and we're memorizing and we're contemplating everywhere. And so we look for the opportunities. This ought to permeate all of life, and not just this week, but long after this week. You know, I remember thinking about this passage when our kids, so our children are 18 and up now in our family, so they're young adults. But there were a lot of conversations. We didn't walk by the way a ton, but we rode in the minivan a lot. There was a lot of minivan theology in our household. And then questions that got brought up at the dinner table. And so, talk with your children. Ask them questions. Give them answers as best you can. No parent does it perfectly. My wife and I have said we've done 1,000 things a week to ruin ours. Bring them to church. Talk to them about it later. When you come home tired at the end of a long day, resist the urge to just go to another room and disengage. Talk to your children about the things of the Lord. Ask them what's going on in their lives, and as best you know how, in a way that, and it's really natural for us, if we're cultivating our own walk with Christ, we begin to very naturally at least attempt to help others in theirs as well. Always pointing them to Christ. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and might, and teach your children the blessing of doing the same. You know, I mentioned that I have, my wife and I have children. There are four of them, 18 through, well, some age in there. And, you know, one of the things that we're seeing already is they boomerang back around. They come and they visit. We enjoy spending time together. But they're also adults that are going off and they're doing their own thing. One of them years ago was here in Vacation Bible School, and there was, I can't remember what curriculum we were using, but there was it was called a craft somewhere in there, and it involved googly eyes. You know, those little eyes that kind of roll around in the bottom, and my son Grayson was working with the googly eyes. The teacher turned around to do something, and she looked back at him, and she said, "Grayson, where are your eyes?" And he said, "They're in my ears." And he had shoved his googly eyes. Kids, don't. Are there any googly eyes this year? Anyway, if there are, do not turn your back on the children. Do not let them. Kids, don't put them in your ears. But he shoved them in so far that they were against each eardrum. We had to take him to an ENT to remove the googly eyes. And I'm sure as the ENT was looking, the eyes were looking back at him while he tried to remove the googly eyes. Well, right now he's at Marine Corps Base Quantico, and he's working to become a Marine. And we don't worry for a second how he'll do. When he was growing up, he learned respect. He got up early in the morning because we just kind of do that in our family. Now, probably he gets up a little earlier right now with not as gentle encouragement. But he had responsibilities. He played on teams. He swam. He ran. He worked in hot, miserable weather for hours at a time. And he enjoyed time with his family as well. And so he'll do fine. But the opportunities to teach him those things, they're not there like they were 20 years ago. But we trust that he's experiencing the blessings of them now. So it is a great blessing to be given the Word of God that points us to the Son of God who gave himself for our salvation. And it's a great blessing to be able to come together and teach young people the great truths of His Word. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and might, and teach your children the blessing of doing the same. Let's pray together. Oh God in heaven, you are a gracious God and Father. And again, we thank you for your word, that Father, you have given us everything we need to know in order to know who you are and what you have done to save us and how we are to walk with you. Father, we pray again that your blessing would be upon all that we do in this week. We pray, Lord, that your spirit would be at work, enabling teachers to teach wisely and clearly, but just as much, enabling young people to take your word to heart. And we pray, Father, that you would, even through these things, gather more to yourself and build your church and strengthen those in your church in your grace. And we pray that you would do all of these things to the praise of your name. Amen. Let's close now by taking our hymnals. We'll turn again to hymn number 565. We'll sing stanzas 1, 2, and 5. So stanzas 1, 2, and 5 of number 565. Let's stand together to sing.